Hey family, what's going on? It's Brother Technico. Real quick before I start today's episode, give you guys some updates, you know, because the worst thing you can possibly do as a content creator is promise something and not deliver. And I have been having the hardest time with that. But not due to lack of effort. Been having some issues with transferring over. You know, just a lot of correspondence at this moment about, you know, getting my episodes put from one platform to the next and then just getting more exposure that way. That way it's my name that pops up in the Apple store instead of Anchor, and then, or you have to search my name and then find it through Anchor, like, you know, more visibility. So that's a little bit of a process. Got a lot of episodes, but, you know, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But anywho, the thing I'm talking about today, and this has been news for a few weeks, I have been reluctant to cover it because I feel it's like very similar to that Kevin Samuel situation, and, you know, very, very similar in ways, like, because Kwame Brown, his subscribers have increased prodigiously over this time. But there's a couple of points I'd like to make about this situation, because it's something that it's not only is it polarizing and it's highly spoken about in our community, but it's one of those things where you see people going at each other and you're seeing Black people, you know, tear each other down and us defending it. You know, we're in defense of the tearing down of our fellow brothers and sisters. And let me just say, as far as, you know, the back and forth, I personally feel like that's nothing that should have been made public. I do understand Kwame Brown's, you know, frustration. And just to give you guys a little bit of a background, if you don't know, he was a former number one pick for the Washington Wizards. Okay. I believe this is 95-96, if I'm not mistaken. And he didn't perform very well, you know, or as well as people might have expected from a number one pick. Mind you, he came fresh out of high school, you know, and the transition from high school to the NBA is a pretty big leap, you know, but those kinds of things aren't really taken into consideration, you know. But you know, he had a 12-13 year career, which is pretty good, you know, to last in the NBA for over a decade. Like, I believe the average span is like 5-6 years. You know, most guys get in the league and, you know, they'll be lucky to be in there. And I mean, that's a good career. 5-6 years, that's a solid, you know, NBA career. You know, 10 years, you've been in the game for a long time. And he was in there for more than that. But he's been the butt of a lot of jokes. He's been called a bust. His name has been dragged through the media by the likes of Stephen A., Max Kelly. I mean, essentially anybody who, when they talk about drafts or just anytime we're going to talk about somebody, you know, bad, they talk about Kwame Brown. And it's crazy because as a person who's played basketball, you know, we, you know, players have their opinions, and guys in the league have their opinions. And that's clear when you see this type of things that Steven Jackson said, you know, in terms of he's had his chance in the league to perform and everything like that, et cetera, et cetera. But I think what gets missed in all of that is, see, in professional sports, it's not like you're on the park. You know, it's not... You get evaluated by people who don't play. You get evaluated by people who don't really understand what it takes to get to that level. Like, Kwame Brown was the top high school player, bar none. You know, he, like, when you're saying things like that, you have to take in consideration that this guy is garbage, as a lot of people are saying. he's better than a lot of people out there play. When you can get to the NBA, and if you can last in the NBA for 13 years, that means you can dominate any at any college, at any D1 college, any level. That's how good you are. These are the best of the best. There are thousands of people who try to get on a roster every year. Every year. Teams have hundreds of people coming to try to get on a roster. Just to even get to training camp. But you got thousands of people. You only got 30 teams. And they just expanded it to what? 15? You know, like they expanded the reserve spots. But you're essentially going into the game with 12 people. You know, most coaches only have like an 8 to 10 man rotation if you're a good team. You know, if you're a developing team, you probably have a larger, because it's all about development and evaluating and et cetera, et cetera. But to make it on one of those rosters, you have to be really, really good. You have to be good. And we as a people, we kind of, number one, when it comes to athletes, we don't respect them. We don't respect what they have to do. We don't respect them as businessmen. We don't respect them as people who, just like doctors, or even more so than doctors, they spend their entire lifetime working on their craft. Like a singer or a performer, an artist. You know, they spend a long time perfecting that craft. You know, it's entertainment. We relegate it to, oh, it's just sports, it's just person, but we tune in and watch. We will buy the jerseys. We buy the tickets. You know, so in so many ways, it's like we want that entertainment for free. You know, we want singers to make great music, yet we don't want to pay for the music. And I understand, you know, situations and different things like that, you know, but at the end of the day, you're benefiting from whatever it is that they're contributing. Now, let's get a little deeper before I get into the commentary. And some of the commentary, like I said, it's unnecessary. That should have been handled in private with some of the things brothers were saying. But let me get to this before I get to that. There's another player who was a first-round pick, you know, and his name is Darko Milicic. And he didn't last very long. He didn't last as long as Kwame Brown. He's widely considered a bust. But you don't hear his name dragged through the mud the same way as Kwame Brown. We've actually had a lot of European busts. We've had a lot of players that you could say that didn't pan out, you know, or didn't play to the stature that they were at. Like, I don't think many people remember who the number one pick it was in 2008. You know, I don't think people remember, you know, players like Anthony Bennett, who was a number one pick. A number one pick, and he, what, lasted? Not yet. He didn't last that long. It didn't play that much. I don't even think he's seen the playoffs. You know. But my whole point of saying that is, like, you don't see them attack certain people, you know, with the same veracity. And we also have to keep in mind that Kwame Brown coming out of high school was a controversial thing. It was not a thing people wanted, particularly the NCAA. College game did not want that. Being able to go straight from high school to the NBA, because that meant that the top players would not be going to their schools. That means that they would not be able to make money from their sports programs. That's why we have such a big debate right now about whether or not college athletes should be paid. If you look at the billions of dollars colleges make off these sports teams, not to even give them a good meal plan. Hell, there's employees, there's Google employees, Apple employees that are entitled to some level of benefit, to some perks, if you will. So I don't understand. But at the same time, what we have to understand is it's all about money. Like, what I don't understand is, why is it wrong for them to be taken care of? You know, what's hard for me to understand is why we don't look at the big picture. Why are they attacking Kwame Brown? It's the same reason that they attacked LaVar Ball. We've had plenty of, parents of athletes who bragged on their kids. You still do. And I personally didn't find anything wrong with the way that he was hyping up his sons. You know what I'm saying? That's what a father is supposed to say. You know, I think it was very, very clear when he made that comment about him playing that one-on-one with Michael Jordan. It's that confidence. And it was also the confidence to say, man, instead of going to Nike, we're going to be the brand. So instead of settling for what Nike can offer, we can put in the time and then become Nike. Because we have the talent. We can get other athletes to want to wear our shoe. And they attacked him. And unfortunately, you know, I don't know if the boys were game enough, you know, or mature enough to really see the big picture of what their father was doing. But he got attacked. You know, got attacked in the same way. And every time they bring up either the Ball brothers, they have to bring up his, you know, their father. And they bring them up in some condescending way. It's ridiculous. Sports is all about narratives. And what people fail to understand is that these are still people. The things that you say to people, it sticks with them. I was just watching a panel the other night with Brendan Haywood, I believe it was Ryan Hollins, Darrell White, and Kenya Martin. And some of them have analyst jobs, some of them don't, but they were talking about, because some played with them, and some were, and they were given a different perspective. They were speaking to the fact that Kwame Brown, you know, came from a system in high school, it was all about him, and now he has to learn a completely different system, thrown to the wolves. They defended the fact that he was able to, you know, stay in the league for quite some time, you know, and that there's a lot of players, you know what I'm saying, in the league that were the man at the prospective schools, and you got to adjust. You know, it's never any guarantees. But I was just listening into the way that they were speaking, you know, in defense. And they weren't defending some of the other comments, you know. But I believe it was Brendan Haywood who brought up the fact that he didn't see this sort of slander happen in any other community than the Black community. And this is true, folks. This is a vestige of slavery. Okay? This was part of the divide and conquer to get us to mistreat and distrust each other, tear each other down, compete with each other. You know, to get into these comments now, you know, and some of them are going violent. I really don't want to repeat that, but, you know, things was getting escalated to that point, you know, talking, you know, trash about his career, Kwame Brown, throwing the Derek Fisher incident into Matt Barnes' face, you know, Steven Jackson sticking up for his boy. First, it's a bit hostile, then he kind of takes it back and keeps it about basketball, which I respect that a lot more the getting into all that personal stuff. I think it's unnecessary. But even in the same breath, the fact that, you know, Steven Jackson, you know, feels the need to, you know, attack him, you know, in his career. Now, in Steven Jackson's defense, he's like that. He's one of those type of people, because he's done this before. He did that with Chandler Parsons. He was just like, I don't understand how somebody's making $100 million and he ain't playing. He ain't playing and he ain't producing. You know, but you're talking about a guy who was a second round pick, you know, had a grind, you know, very similar to a Jimmy Butler. You know, so all that other stuff is just like, no, I don't understand that. You know, because he's looking at Kwame Brown as, you the one who had all the opportunity, you know, to do that. I had to do some things. You know, I really had to grind. I really had to struggle. People weren't giving me them chances. And even when I got the chance, I still had to fight. You know, and all of those things are good. All of those things should be respected. At the same time, it's evidence that we're still in a situation where we're competing with each other, you know. But, and excuse me because it's really, really cold. So if you hear my voice sounding kind of messed up, or you're wondering like, what's wrong? Yeah, it's cold. But it's evidence that we compete with each other in an unhealthy way, because there's healthy ways to compete. You know, but those ways don't include tearing the other person down. And I don't know if Steven Jackson ever, you know, really knew Kwame Brown, because just because players are in the NBA and they know each other, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have, like, you know, a close relationship. Like, you do tend to bond and get closer to people that you're on a team with. Even though there's levels to that as well, that's easier. I don't believe he ever played with Kwame Brown. I can't recall. And at the same time, you know, while it's possible for guys to have a relationship, there's just nobody, you know, maybe playing in college or high school or against each other, having one of those things, or, you know, becoming friends through another friend, that doesn't guarantee that that connection was ever made, you know. And I think that plays a part. I think that plays a role in regards to someone's interpretation of someone else. You know, because many people were surprised to see that, you know, how Kwame Brown spoke. You know, they kind of seen him as a quiet, reticent type of person. Maybe that was the reason why they felt, you know, it was okay, or they had the green light to say the kind of things that they were saying. But then they found that this brother spoke with some power, spoke with some force, you know. It's even caused people like Charlamagne, and let me, because I'm, let me explain this. So Charlamagne, because this is how big this topic, like from Vicky Dillard, everybody's been talking about this Kwame Brown situation. Let's just put it like that. Everybody, you know. And he spoke on something that wasn't necessarily true. He characterized his family in a certain way. And that is reminiscent of slavery. Painting a picture of somebody, you know what I'm saying, in a certain way, you know, putting that fear. Now that he's speaking up and saying certain things, oh yeah, man, you don't want that. Yeah, he wanted, you know what I'm saying. Now to some people, you know, immature people, people not looking at the big picture, they may look at that like, oh well, you know, yeah, don't mess with him, that's something. But you're talking about a person who, number one, that's not a part of his lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Being willing to stand on your two feet and, you know, fight as a man. Men fight. That has nothing to do with hood or economics, blah, 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 blah. That's what we do. You know what I'm saying? Throwing in elements of, you know, being attached to criminal activity. We should know how damaging that is to a society, to our community. I say society, but I say to our community. You know, Dr. Boyce Watkins chimed in with his two cents, and Kwame Brown's been responding damn near to everybody. You know, his response to Charlemagne, you know, and that's going to be another topic in itself, but, you know, about sexual assault of a 15-year-old girl. And he may have ethered his own career with that one. You know, because the girl, she did an interview to clarify. She brought her mother on there. Her mother was speaking on that situation, talking about the times that she had met Charlemagne. Yeah, it's pretty damning. But once again, we're mudslinging. We're in confrontation with one another. This is crazy. It seemed like all they needed to do was just sit back, wait, and watch. As tempers flared, as frustration continues to rise, we find ourselves at a place where not only are we tearing each other down, but we're entertained by it. We're tuning into it. Kwame Brown went from 4K subscribers to over 200,000 in a matter of weeks. And I'm glad that he's going to be, you know, getting his rightful attention, getting his platform. His platform is jumping. At what cost? How much more are we going to allow people to view our internal turmoil? There's turmoil all over the place, and we know that. But where is it broadcast? Where are they going at each other? This energy could be put into doing something far more productive. If it was simply about calling out the media and their narratives, they could have came together on a united front. Instead, they tear each other down. And it's not like some of these people. It's like, it's very, very clear. Outside of the panel that I just watched with Brendan Hayward, Darrell Wright, Kenya Martin, and Ryan Holland. The other people who have issues with Kwame Brown have ties to media. That's just what it is. Charlemagne is probably the only unique character. And I'm not including Dr. Boyce Watkins, really. He made his commentary, but I don't feel that it was necessarily negative. I follow Dr. Boyce Watkins. Clearly, Kwame Brown does too. But he kind of strikes me as like an old man that is kind of, I mean, he is conservative. But like, not just in policy, like in his personality. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, people are entitled to their views, their opinions. This wouldn't be the first time I heard him make a comment that he didn't really research or even care to. It's not something I think he really, really cares about, but, you know, people are talking about it. He likes sports. So, no different than me when I comment on certain topics that I think are relevant, right? But he has a different opinion. but I don't think he necessarily has any ill will towards Kwame Brown. I think Kwame Brown was just more offended because out of respect, you know, that tends to happen. You know, I kind of feel like that was the issue with Kevin Hart and Tariq Nasheed, you know, when they had that issue, because Tariq Nasheed makes his comment about one of his stand-ups, and then Kevin Hart reacts. I think if you don't care about a guy, you don't know about a guy, it's like, what the hell? You wouldn't be offended, but if you saw one of those documentaries and you thought he was really, really cool, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, this is a dude that's doing some stuff, you know what I'm saying, uplifting, and they say something negative about you, it's just like, damn. Like, once again, people, like, we're people, we're humans, you know? And a lot of guys, like, you know, Dr. Voice Watkins, Tariq Nasheed, I don't think they expect, or maybe now it's different, but I don't think they necessarily expect certain people to kind of know about them or be in their spectrum, you know? I don't think anybody would have saw Nick Cannon invite Professor Griff to the platform, but it just goes to show you, like, we're people. People are more diverse than what you think, but people also have feelings. And Kwame Brown, you know, being somebody, like, if you talk to him about, you know, the importance of Black enterprise and the importance of, you know, representation and certain things, like, you would be surprised to hear some of the things that he would say. It's interesting to me because I feel like, you know, between Kwame Brown, between Al Harrington, Stephen Jackson, Kyrie Irving, these guys could all sit down in a room and be really, really productive together. They actually have a lot in common in terms of, like, big picture ideology, big picture visions and goals, right? But it's these little things that kind of get in the way. It's these little things, in fact, that are used against us. You know, it's called discord. These are the kind of tactics that's been used since Hannibal. That's one of the biggest reasons that I don't like Vlad TV, because he starts a lot of stuff. And if you understand the mechanism of causing discord and beefs and infighting, that you make groups weaker. It's hard to push for the social justice that we need, right? When we keep getting into petty bickering, you know, we get into celebrity drama, we get into either distractions or we get into fighting each other, because when the distractions aren't enough anymore and people are frustrated and people are upset, and we are, we have to pay attention, family. The bodies have not stopped piling, and I ain't talking about COVID. I'm talking about police brutality. It has not gone away. So what the society that intends to continue the oppression must do is not only distract and weaken, but destroy the credibility of the movement that it's up against. Because that's a very, very, very effective tool. The court of public opinion. It's such an effective tool, and it's a highly recognized tool. It's one of the major victories that Deshaun Watson's lawyer got in that case that they haven't said too much about. But when we look at that in family, if you're unfamiliar with it, scroll down. Look at the case. I have an episode, actually two episodes, talking about the Deshaun Watson case, right? But that's what they do. They try to slander you, because if they can slander your credibility, if they can slander your image, then it takes away from the big picture. In this case, when we see Black folks going at other Black folks, and talking about different things. See, that's where it's damaging to make up a lie and give that a half-assed apology. That was a half-assed apology. But that's why it's bad to characterize our own people as criminals. You see, that's the same type of description. This is the same type of outline, profile, that makes police officers and the rest of society, who have no reason to respect us, and let's just keep it a buck, think it's okay for police to do what they do. Like, look at that. Look, even in the NBA, they have those backgrounds. They're thugs. They're killers. Look at it. Even after they're done making their money, they go back to doing their stuff. Like, the reality is, shit, even rich people get into fights, in disputes, in dumb stuff. Just like that. Go look at prison. Everybody in prison ain't poor. Everybody in prison ain't a gangbanger. But it's those descriptions that they can tie to us that give them justification. When I talk about objective reasonableness, family, if you're not familiar with objective reasonableness, just check the feed. If you're new, just scroll through. I got plenty of episodes. I got stuff talking about Breonna Taylor. I've covered this extensively. Graham v. Connor, that's where it all started. So go check that out, family. But objective reasonableness, where they can, within reason, say that, oh, this person is a criminal. You know what I'm saying? The justification for using applied force, because I don't know what they may do. I'm in fear for my life. And when you're sitting there saying that story to a jury, that's where it does the most damage. Because at the end of the day, no matter how much you present certain facts, the jury gotta believe it. It has to convince the jury. And if the jury has in the back of their mind that this police officer could be justified, because looking at it, they're like, shoot, he looks like a thug. He looks like a thug that I have seen on TV. He looks like a person. He looked like, it doesn't seem like it's that way, but it really is. Jury selection is critical. And sometimes it's very evident to see that somebody has bias. You can't just say, I think this person has a bias, though. You have to either ask them questions to kind of bring it out to where the judge also sees it. But if they're really good at hiding it, or they're really good at answering the questions just enough to where it's like, now that's what you have to deal with. And then you got to deal, and you better hope that it's not one of the more dominant voices in the room. That's the other part of the jury game people don't understand, because it gets to a point where people don't want to be there, where people are on the fence. And those who are strong voices, those who have strong positions in the jury, are usually going to sway. That's how it is. See, but we watch too much Judge Judy. We watch too much Law and Order. We watch too much bullshit. So we don't really understand how this process really works. The process starts even before you get to the courtroom. We have yet to define what is the standard of reason, or what is reasonable. That's why what Charlemagne did was damaging. And I'm always in this position with Charlemagne. That's why I really don't care for him too much. Because it's just like, sometimes you do something good, and then other times he does something egregious and makes you scratch your head, you know, doing things like throwing booty, little sex booty dick dolls at people and stuff at his show, like immature, crazy stuff. Like, what are you doing? It's like, 1 week you got Dr. Claude Anderson and you on this hype. The next week you got somebody else and you being stupid. And shit, you could have kept that fucking... I'm like, yeah, you acknowledged what you did was wrong. That was a half-assed apology. I ain't giving you no credit for no bullshit. But either way, neither here nor there. You apologize. At this point, these people just need to, like, deal with each other in person. Like, feuds, disputes happen. This stuff being made public, it's not a good look. And this will be referenced. This situation will come back to bite us. It will certainly come back to bite those involved. Hopefully, this is the good side. This confrontation is something that brings us together, and that is one of the most corny things I could ever say. Like, when you actually say the thing out loud, but it's there because it's connecting people that may not have had a way to connect to each other. You see Kwame Brown, you know, his biggest issue is that you didn't reach out to me, talk to me, get my side, you know. And it's very, very interesting because that's not something you really see Dr. Boyce do it. Like, that's something you see, like, other folks do, like Saneda, you know, Felipe Shock Matthews, you know, somebody like that. Shout out Brother Rich. Brother Rich would do something like that. I haven't seen Dr. Boyce do any interviews, but, you know, I'm hoping he would consider it. You know, I think that there's a lot of benefit that could be had. You know, I think there is a opportunity for a shared perspective. Hell, if he is willing to kind of give the big picture evaluation of Kanye West, why not Kwame Brown? Why not? You know? That's just how I see it. It's a bigger picture to all this. And sometimes we live too much in the moment. We still have to understand there's a fight to be had within all this. But I ain't gonna keep you guys too much longer. I'm shivering. So peace, love, and light. Family, if this podcast has any value to you, please like, share, tell people about me. If you aren't familiar with Graham versus Connor or what objective reasonableness is, scroll down. Check out my earlier episodes on it. I talk about this a lot. I have one in particular where I talk about Graham v. Connor. I talk about Ahmaud Ashbury. I talk about even the history of these kinds of cases too, you know, as documented by Ida B. Wells. So check it out. That's very, very good information. It'll give us the tools and the perspective that we need to move forward. So peace, love, and light. Check me out on Instagram, TEKHNIQO, Technico. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. We out.